Today is the day that we have to serve the Lord, and we need to have our fullest ability to function by the grace of God, and so that's her point. If you weren't here last time, she talked about her husband was in the reserves, and then he was then called up in the Persian Gulf War, and she had 270-some days of pressure about him going and what was going to happen. Their life got turned upside down economically and everything. And so that's what we talked about in the last session. And now she's talking about how to live out the grace of God in this daily step-by-step living. In other words, making the most of the day that we have. And dealing especially with managing emotions. You know, as she looked back, in fact, sometimes she felt, how did I get under so much anxiety? You know, when you look at things from vision is 20/20 when you look at the past. You know, we can see things clearly. And, and for her, he didn't die. He didn't go. nothing really horrible happened. They had to do without some things, but it was okay. And so if she had not learned to manage her emotions during the majority of that time, she would have lost a very valuable part in her life, her children's lives. And so her worst fears did not happen. Now, sometimes your worst fears do happen. You know, it is true. And so she gives the story of Elizabeth Elliot, which, of course, we've just finished a book by Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband took that pioneering, daring foray into the Aucca Indian area there in Ecuador, and vicious, savage people. She knew as they were going through those weeks that he was facing great danger. And for her, her fears were justified. He was martyred. And of course, we all know about that. But let me just say right off the bat, if that hadn't happened, you wouldn't have known the name Elizabeth Elliot, would you? You would not have been blessed by her books. You would not have been blessed by her, if you've heard her on the radio and other tapes that she, and tapes, dates me, recordings that she has made. And it's not been easy. But God gave her a tremendous life of serving the Lord. So her fear was realized, but her life was not over. And we have to understand that. Ladies, when we get to this matter of managing our emotions, it starts with believing you really can trust God. I think one of the greatest lies that Satan gives is, he's forgotten me. No, he's not forgotten you. You are right dead center in the focus of his burden and love, and he's got a plan for your life. And sometimes in this sin-cursed earth with all the problems, there are going to be realization of fears, but it's not ever disastrous. Is it turns out sweet and good. So in the first the chapter last week, her fears were not realized. I think she's very wise to then give the secret of one who did have to face that reality. And so first of all, she emphasizes about the importance of thinking on the truth. Be truth-centered. This is Elizabeth Elliot, when she got to Ecuador, knowing what they were facing, she got into the ministry, and she began to realize that the Lord would be with her when they passed through the water, and that would not overflow, and so forth. And so she just became immersed in the Word of God. Let me say, ladies, there is absolutely no substitute for really knowing the truth. Here you're here today, you know, Bible study time, obviously preaching, different other studies are important, and then your own private study of the Word of God to understand. The more you are enriched in your life by truth, when you face some potential fears down the road, you can think properly. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your mind. You got to get your mind on in control. Think on these things. And when you think biblical truth, just Sunday night I preached on abounding in wisdom. God's grace will give us more than enough wisdom to be able to think right. You know, the minute you think right, you have relief in your soul. It's when we think improperly and feel out of control, feel hopeless, feel that we are forgotten, that's when we get into deep trouble. We feel lonely, we feel afraid, and Satan just loves to play on that. And if you're focused on truth, you will not run into that nearly as much. And by the way, as I talked about a while back, Colossians chapter 3 talks about in verse 16, teaching yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and it talks about admonishing one another. One way to keep truth in your mind is to have godly music that is scripture-oriented, that doesn't appeal to the flesh, but is a tool of the Spirit to energize your spirit, and then truth just continues to be in your mind. Have you ever been helped by a hymn? I certainly have been. All of a sudden, it'll just come across that the truth, and you know, from the third verse. Well, the Holy Spirit, if you know the, if you know different hymns, and if you are have the appropriate type of recordings that have rich truth in them, your mind begins to take hold of those. So music can make a great deal of difference. Now, one very simple point that Elliot talked about is you, and she talks about here, is proceeding ahead. You cannot be paralyzed today because of some of the things you're fearing in the days ahead. The more you have routine and responsibility and have a plan for your day and follow it, the better off you're going to be. Have you ever noticed that? One of the worst things you can do is sit and meditate. I shouldn't say meditate. Probably the better word would be worry. Sit and get self-focused and fear-focused. That doesn't do you any good. In other words, and the point of this whole two-chapter study here is, today's important. People need to be touched. God has a will for us. God wants us to grow today. There are responsibilities that we need to accomplish. This day does not need to be marked off because we're paralyzed. Now, of course, there are days when crisis just whacks you and you have to adjust to it. But I'm talking about when it is simply a day not affected by what you have to do about the crisis, but anticipating potential crisis. You are allowing today to be wasted. Now, today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord today. And it really does make a difference. Just plow ahead. And that's why when we talked a few weeks ago, the night before, have a plan. And then, of course, overall planning, trying to get some key things done in each day of the week, and having a basic sense of responsibility to move forward. Keep on track. Keep on taking steps with your goals that you have. And endeavor to taking your family, your life, your ministry forward. It will give you great relief, and it will give you a perspective that God is continuing to work. So that's just a simple thought. Elliot talks about the fact that when she studied the life of the Lord did not halt all activity to brood over what was to come. Now think about it. Did he have something really bad that was going to happen to him? Beyond what we can imagine. And he understood it completely, being God. And the terrible thing that he was going to face was not the physical suffering, but the fact he was going to be identified with sin as the Holy Son of God. And yet he did not miss one step of the Father's will day by day, brooding over the cross. Isn't that a great example? Aren't you glad that he had the full and complete ministry, that he taught us everything that he taught us, that he developed the disciples? He did everything. Think of all the people healed. Think of the people that were resurrected. Think of the people that were brought to a saving knowledge of himself during that time. If he had allowed the pressure of the cross to stop him, then we wouldn't have what we have. And so I don't know of a better biblical example than the Savior himself. And who does abide in you now? The Spirit of Christ. The very same Spirit that enabled the Lord Jesus. Remember, when he lived on earth, he was perfect, of course. He did not have sin, but he was really human. If you would have cut him, he bled. We know that from the cross, obviously. He had the same human emotions. He got hungry. He was thirsty. And all of those things. He got tired. He got fatigued. And everything he did through the power of the Spirit, because he wanted to live from the time of his conception to the time of his ascension a genuine human life so he could be our legal representative. Now think about that. So everything he did was through the power of the Spirit. He's a pretty good example. You realize that we have the same Spirit. In fact, we have a greater opportunity because the victory is won at the cross. We have greater opportunity, as he says in John 14, to do things that are that really were even greater works than what he did. And so as you look at the life of Christ, realize that an example like we have here, that he did not let himself get paralyzed, brooding over what was going to happen. He did everything the Father wanted to do. The Holy Spirit can do the same thing for me today. You believe that? See, the problem is we look at, oh, I'm so weak. Well, in Christ's humanity, even though he wasn't sinful, he would have been weak, but he didn't focus on himself. He focused on the Father, and he trusted in the Spirit, exactly what we can do. So we, honestly, folks, let me just say, when you got something that's foreboding coming, or some responsibility that's heavy, or something you're real concerned about, did you know that if you will think right according to truth and let the Spirit of God work, and just keep moving, you will experience refreshment and joy that's unexplainable, unspeakable joy. In fact, the times that should be the most foreboding, you will look back with great affection and appreciation because they were some of the sweetest times that you ever had because the Holy Spirit worked. You know, it's wonderful, folks. We don't have to live an up and down bumpy life. We really can have that inner strength if we'll really let God work. I mean, sufficient is the day. We've got to make the most of the day. And so, as she talks about both of the ladies here, for our author, she had 9 months, 270 days of living one day at a time. And she followed that formula. We're going to look at that here about how to manage this kind of situation. She brings up another example in this chapter, and that Schaefer was a well-known theologian of several decades back. His wife Edith found out that he had cancer, and so she was helped by looking at just how this lady approached, as her world was upside down with her husband now going to go through this, Frances Schaefer, she knew, well, there is suffering in this world. It's not all easy, but God's plan is good. And so she did three things here, and this is what really affected our author. And so let's look at them. First of all, she prepared. She was armed with spiritual truth. That's similar to just having the truth in your mind. Let me just read from what Schaefer said. I felt it imperative to make a home for Fran as soon as possible. If he were to stay in the United States, they lived over in Switzerland, for treatment, whether he had 6 weeks or 6 months to live, why a home? I would answer that home is important to a person to help him or her get well as being important for family times together if someone is dying. In either case, beauty and familiar surroundings have an effect on the physical, psychological, and even spiritual state. So she prepared knowing that she had a responsibility now to try to provide the right situation, not knowing exactly what was going to have for her husband, but she had a role to play. In other words, instead of feeling sorry for herself, what did she need to focus on? Well, number one, she was the completer for her husband, and number two, not only was concerned about his physical condition, but she was also concerned about his ministry, that he continued to preach and teach and lead until he could not. And so instead of moping, what did she do? Day by day, she saw it as an opportunity for her to serve. Now, that is just a tremendous perspective. So she planned. That was the second thing. She had some waiting time, so she began to get creative ideas how to about what to do. And so she worked on the place where they were out, where they were at, as far as making it nice, making it pleasant, and trying to make the situation as good as possible for her husband. So instead of moping, plan how you can make a difference. Then the third thing was, as we've already mentioned, praying during that time, just really seeking the Lord. And ladies, we all know when we're at crisis times, we ought to pray. That's why get into the habit of genuine fellowship with God, knowing His presence now, having biblical prayer, so that when the crisis comes, it's not just, Lord, help, though He answers that prayer. You know how to meet with God. If you have real sketchy surface prayers now, you're going to be a little bit in trouble. Now, God will teach you and deepen your prayer, obviously, during a crisis. But preparing now for, just having a relationship with God now will then give you what you need for a relationship with God at the time when your whole humanity is feeling its weakness. And you know exactly what to do. You have that pattern in your life and you have that nurtured relationship. In fact, I tell you what, if you have regular prayer times now that are significant, when you hear bad news or begin to realize something down the pike could be coming, pretty quickly the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Because you're already in relationship with Him. You're already studying God's Word. So it's all right there. So you want to have this whole foundation of truth and relationship built up. Because folks, we don't need to be negative, but life, as Ecclesiastes says, is full of trouble. And by the way, that's okay, because we got to let go of this world. We've got to value spiritual things, number one, while we're here, and see God do mighty things. And secondly, we don't need to be afraid to die, because we look forward to what God has for us. You see, we got it made. And so the Lord allows things to happen because He knows what we need to develop us. So the matter of prayer is not just at the time to pray, but praying in a regular way prior to that. But then, having prepared, planned, prayed, proceed. And so she, where they were at, 3 days of cleaning, painting, assembling an odd assortment of furnishings. You know, when you're not at your own home, that's a hard thing. But she just focused on that, tried to make everything she could to really pleasant. She researched cancer, chemotherapy, vitamins, diet, what all could be done. And so she said, one day at a time became an important measure to be constantly met. When you're supposed to die in a short period of time, the dates are more appreciated, and thens take a bit of sparkle. And so she moved forward, and despite what he was going through, he continued, because of what she was doing, to be able to minister. Now that's got to, after he went home to be with the Lord, got to have been a great matter of satisfaction for her, that he had a productive end to his life. He would not have had that had he not had someone who wasn't moping, but instead was working. Do you follow me? In other words, that's something that was very valuable. People were touched. Lives were changed. And so God began to work, and the Lord began to really, really meet. And then that's the final thing. You taste God's provision. It's just God, He steps in over and over when you move forward by faith. Gives enough strength for each day, gives that peace. And even though he didn't feel great, God would give him strength. And he went, by the way, 5 years. You know, so often we get different kinds of, have a diagnosis of this or that. And of course, the doctors, to protect themselves with a liability, have to give you the worst case scenario. And I always have to try to help people decipher what they heard, you know, with the doctor. Sometimes I'm glad to go with people just to hear what has been said. But so many times we get this, we look at this 3 months. Well, what are you going to do if it's 5 years? Let me just say this. Are you willing to go through this for 5 years? Are you going to appreciate every day? Are you going to be focused on really letting God use your life? And so we don't know. Listen, I've had so many people that had a short period of time to live, and 20 years later, you know, things are still going on, you know. It's, you don't know. You just don't know. And it's exciting. God does work. And so she kept preparing, planning, praying, proceeding, and didn't give up. And the Lord just obviously helped her become more and more of a selfless woman. And she saw times when he would get up to speak, he didn't have enough strength, he was too dizzy, he'd get in the pulpit, and bang, he got power. And she just continued to realize, this is a supernatural venture, and God is working. So, how are we doing on handling our emotions? Are we bouncing around? Now, again, we do have initial reactions to things, and that we need to understand. But we need to be steady once we get a hold of that. And we can't let the potential problems of the future stop us from being productive today. That's what she's trying to say. Fears, and you notice how this theme has come all the way through this book, which I appreciate, because I'm telling you, I know many believers that just are paralyzed over and over. What if, what if, what if? Listen, don't speculate what might happen. Is bad enough when you know what is going to happen. Okay, there's no need to live with the what ifs. I mean, it's enough to handle the trouble that you do have. You know what? And I tell you what, it never turns out like you think it anyway. And when you're walking with God, it's always better. Even the hard stuff. You know, people fear, well, is that going to happen to me? What happened to that person? God doesn't do the same thing to people. And, you know, I had got a little bit of fear as my kids got into adult years. What are they going to have to go through? I had to go through some big trials to prepare my life, but it's not going to be the same thing. And God knows exactly what He needs to do, and it will always be good. And so it's very important that we just make the most of today, that we think on the right things. And you can make today profitable. Folks, we just, you know, sometimes when you're maybe doing something you really like to do, or you're in a place on vacation that's exciting because you're relaxed, and you just start the day saying, oh, this is great. Well, you need to do that on a day that maybe things aren't so great, okay? And just say, Lord, wow, I got another day to serve you. Thank you for strength. Thank you for the privilege. And I don't need to let the things of the future or the present things that I know stop me from really having a productive day, to have the joy of walking with you, of seeing you work, of having the right kind of thought process. This can be a great day. And folks, it's really in our realm of responsibility, because we have a will, and we have to decide we're going to trust the Lord. And you've heard me say it so many times, don't be a victim, be a victor. Today is your day. Rejoice in it. This is a great day. We're alive. You say, but Pastor, things are bad everywhere. Well, it has been bad for all these years. Okay, we live on a sin-cursed earth. It's about time Americans wake up to the fact that, this is a struggle. But it can be a great day. We don't have to be intimidated by all those things. And God can work in a mighty way, and we can just be refreshed and have great joy in what we do instead of being just so pounded down by our wrong negative thought processes. And let me finish with this. You do have to change your thought patterns, because those are actually addictive thought patterns. You cope by worrying. Terrible way to cope, because then you'll cope with something else. And so learn to think right, learn to rejoice, and follow this pattern that we talked about preparing, planning, praying, all of these things, and get to where instead of a trigger of a negative situation or thought coming along causes you to go down the brain pathway of worrying and feeling dark, turn to the Lord, rejoice, realize I've got, what do I need to do today? This is what I got planned. God's going to, I got a relationship with Him. He'll meet my needs today, and He'll give me joy. He's promised that if the Holy Spirit's in charge. Learn to reroute that pathway in your brain. Don't go down that. And that is a great help. And you might want to get a partner with you to just for a little while be accountable about rerouting some of those negative pathways that are there.